Welcome to the Luther 500 broadcast. My name is Sandy Groff. In 1529, Martin Luther confessed, "I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him and his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity." Our show's sermons are among the best of Dr. Martin Luther's from the 1530s, and we've also added sermons from 400 years later that were delivered by Dr. Walter A. Meyer of the Lutheran Hour, which were aired during the Depression, World War II, and the early Cold War years. These sermons were heard by as many as 50 million people on worldwide radio every week. Today's sermon, "They Have Not Died in Vain," is by Walter A. Meyer of the Lutheran Hour from 1947, Concordia Publishing House book, 1,000 Radio Voices for Christ, is our wonderful source. O Christ, our Prince of Eternal Peace, huge ships on the high seas, bearing to our shores the bodies of our military dead, to be reburied beneath American soil, should remind us that we can have real peace and blessing for our souls, our homes, our country, only through childlike trusting faith in Thee, our God, our Savior, our King. These draped vessels should make us recall that our national neglect of Thy grace, our growing disregard of the divine will, hurled these mightily favored United States into two terrifying wars, and that the continued rejection of Thy redeeming love can produce World War III with its new and crushing horrors. Precious Son of the Almighty, spare us this sorrow by leading the masses to believe that on the cross, amid agonies too overwhelming for our mortal minds to measure, Thou didst shed Thy holy precious blood to cleanse us of our crimes and thus to give us peace, precious perfect peace, in our hearts and in our lives. Oh, help us spread this glorious gospel so that men everywhere may be drawn to Thee and serve as peace bringers in a world of woe. Mighty memorial services will be held during the coming days in most of our large cities. Since the bodies of many who fell fighting for our cause in World War II are being brought back to be buried beneath their native soil, 300,000 of our country's youth, who only a few years ago waved their loved ones farewell as they set out on the ways of war, died in foreign fields of battle, and legions of these are being carried as corpses to America, the land they love. Specially equipped ships will cross the ocean with thousands of caskets. The Joseph V. Connolly, first of many funeral transports to arrive from Europe, bears 5,600 soldier dead. It will require 5 days to unload their caskets. Death trains draped in black and bearing purple flags will receive these bodies, removed from national cemeteries in the Philippines, Leyte, Okinawa, and 100 other Pacific resting places, as well as from burial grounds in North Africa, Italy, Normandy, Germany, and many additional places of battle in Europe. Public and private exercises will be held throughout the land, more committal services than the nation has previously witnessed in any similar period. Then these soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines who gave all for our victory will be laid to rest in family burial plots or in new honor rows added to Gettysburg, Arlington, and other national cemeteries. God protect their last place of repose. Altogether, during the next 5 years, 217,000 bodies will thus be reburied at a cost of $177 million. Well, will the United States pause to remember its fallen heroes? Too easily, an ungrateful republic drops from its memory those who served it best as they laid down their lives for its freedom. A Washington newspaper reporter some time ago described the forgotten man in our nation's capital. Who do you suppose this was? The hero of the entire nation 30 short years ago. but later a patient at Walter Reed Hospital, where he seldom receives visitors, even when they are permitted. None other than General John J. Pershing, leader of our victorious forces in World War I, the third of a million American soldiers who were cut down by Axis attacks, must not thus slip from our remembrance. If we forget them, God can forget us. Indeed, these mass burials teach us vital lessons for the welfare both of our country and of our own souls. In this disturbed day, when world peace is threatened on a dozen different fronts, while masses in America yearn for a calm mind, the plea resounds throughout the land, rebury the fallen with this pledge, they have not died in vain. We can say this with confidence if we obey God, both in time of peace and in time of war. This is the second modern lesson taught by our ancient text, the second book of Chronicles, chapter 35, verses 22 to 25. Nevertheless, Josiah, hearken not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah. And the king said to his servants, have me away, for I am sore wounded. His servants therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah, and Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. And all the singing men and the singing women spoke of Josiah in their lamentations to this day. We have this assurance if we obey God in time of peace. King Josiah, in whom these words center, was one of the most remarkable rulers ever to occupy the throne of Judah. With the exception of a few weeks at the end of his life, his 31 years on the throne were prosperous and altogether peaceful. What was the secret of his success? The truth we can apply in America to ensure our people the absence of war and woe that was Israel's under Josiah. Here are the explanations in God's own word. He did that which is right in the sight of the Lord. In peacetime, he obeyed the Almighty, and heaven blessed him. Although he had an ungodly father, someone saw to it that in his early youth he was trained in God's word. Without this early education in the law and love of the Lord, he would doubtless have degenerated into the skeptical, scoffing sort of ruler whose unbelief had made the Almighty repeatedly announce his judgment on his own people. If you want the 300,000 lives cruelly cut off by the war to contribute to our country's lasting benefit, help bring our youth to God. When you read that children broke 10,000 panes of glass in Washington school buildings, when we tell you that the annual cost of replacing shattered glass in Buffalo public schools has reached $17,000, that in larger cities the amount is correspondingly higher, look beyond the broken glass to our entire code of laws smashed by juvenile criminals who come from homes where there is no fear of God, from schools where the Lord is never mentioned, from surroundings where Jesus and Christ, the names above all others, are blasphemed in constant profanity. If you want the liberties with which heaven has so signally blessed us to remain our holy heritage, help lead our youth to the Almighty. With communist youth organizations systematically engaged in coaxing boys and girls away from the Savior, with commercialized amusements nightly picturing to the rising generation the disregard of the Most High, with elders often giving young folks an unholy example of spiritual indifference, how can we hope for better days in the United States unless parents whom the judge of eternity one day will hold accountable for the training of their children earnestly take time to see that their boys and girls learn to love the Redeemer, study his gospel in Sunday school, and wherever possible in Christian day schools? No matter what far-sighted plans our national leaders propose, however large the armies we mobilize or numerous the atomic bombs we manufacture, unless we have a God-fearing, Christ-honoring, law-abiding, home-loving youth, our future is endangered. The continuation of our blessings menaced. The Holy Spirit, give us the loyalty of young Josiah in our homes.
Although Josiah was not a priest and had no theological education, as a layman he became one of the Old Testament's outstanding defenders of the faith. In the face of public opposition, he destroyed the high places, the images, the other evidences and institutions of Israel's fake, idolatrous worship. Read through the meaningful 34th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and you will see how Josiah, in his 16th year, quote, began to seek after God, after the God of David, his father, end quote. How in his 20th year, he, quote, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves, and he carved, and the carved images and the molten images, end quote. How again in his 26th year, having cleansed both the country and the temple, he started to, quote, repair the house of the Lord, his God. When you have finished, earnestly beseech the Almighty to send our country consecrated, courageous young laymen who in this critical day will help purify and rebuild the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. No metal images and idols clutter our worship today. We have gone beyond the stage of bowing down before so-called sacred trees or holy hills, but other evils in American church life cry out for purging. Too many who call themselves Christ's question scripture instead of upholding it unqualifiedly. They select the portions which they are willing to accept as true and reject the rest as tinged with error. They compromise where the Bible tells us to stand fast. They say nay where Holy Writ says yea. Therefore, they have little room for repentance, reconciliation in Christ, redemption through his blood, earned to the Father by faith in his Son. They are lulling the masses into that easy, drowsy, sleepy sort of religion which thrives on entertainment, socials, suppers, but leaves the soul starved and stunted. Pray the Holy Spirit to awaken among us Josiahs, earnest, well-instructed laymen who, unmoved by fear, will cry out boldly against the weakness and willful disobedience of the Lord found in much of America's religious life today. Our country's churches are the last line of America's defense. If they waver and collapse, the nation's bulwarks are broken. Just as Israel dropped to defeat when the worship of the Almighty was set aside in favor of homage to man-made idols, as you picture to yourself the pain and anguish endured by these military men whose remains are to be reburied in our soil, as you recall the atrocities they suffered, the unspeakable cruelties to which they were subjected for us and our freedom, resolve that they shall not have bled and died in vain, since you, following Josiah, will help cleanse the churches of worldliness, because of which hardships and horrors can descend on the United States. Stand up and speak for Christ, and then you will assist in preserving his bounteous blessings for America. A laity loyal to God, like Josiah, means far more for the prosperity and true progress of this land than a dozen assemblies of acclaimed world leaders who have often no reverence for the ruler of the universe. Josiah was to repair the house of the Lord. So today the churches need laymen who will rebuild and fortify the fallen places in their walls. Thousands of sanctuaries in Europe were blasted to pieces. While no bomb fell on an American sanctuary, many of our churches were damaged during the war by severe spiritual loss. We need to repair our Sunday schools, for they now enroll fewer children than they did 10 years ago. Church discipline should be rebuilt, for often congregational members are permitted to remain in good standing, although their whole life is publicly marked by opposition to the Almighty. The zeal of our congregation must be fortified, for where are the evenings of services which years ago attracted large audiences throughout the land? The sacrificial spirit of Christians in our country must be rekindled and enlarged, since Christ's kingdom is not given its proportionate share of the highest income of our workers. Almost 60 million of them have ever received. Repair our churches and you will rebuild our national strength, reinforce its defense. If you want to be sure that the third of a million fighting men who left home never to return except as corpses did not die in vain, then follow Josiah as he sought to fill the purified sanctuary with heaven's own truth and to bring his people back to the real reverence of the Lord. While the temple was being repaired, the five books of Moses, the Bible of his day, were found in the ruins. Josiah had these scriptures read to his people, and the ancient ordinances of God's word reintroduced. A mighty Passover festival, a day of repentance, was held, in which Judah pledged itself to obey the Lord. Thus, by going back to the faith of the fathers, this God-fearing king was able to bring his people to a period of peace and prosperity. If we want the Almighty to vouchsafe to our country the continuance of his unparalleled goodness, we too must return to the faith of the founding fathers. We have gone forward so fast in numbers, power, riches, comfort, blessings, that our outward growth has outstripped our spiritual advance. The United States too must go back to God, back to the Bible, back to Christ, back to his cross, back to his blood, back to trust in his atoning death and life-giving resurrection. If it is to go forward towards peace and true prosperity along the paths blazed by the brave lads soon to be reburied in the good earth of their native land. In Germany, I found that a total defeat had stopped the mouths of modernists and skeptics within the churches, since their teachings have brought destruction. May the Almighty mercifully spare us from the sorrow of waiting for defeat and disaster before we turn penitently to him. May he awaken leaders who not only speak of God, but who are not ashamed to emphasize and exalt also the Lord Jesus Christ.
Politics alone will never save America. Far too often, politicians are mistaken. It is now revealed that right before the war, Lord George made a trip to Germany and was so taken in by the Nazi system that he came back acclaiming Hitler as a great leader, the savior of his people. Military might alone is no guarantee for the continuance of America's greatness, since the biggest armies have often gone down in defeat. Financial resources are not large enough to purchase peace and prosperity. Our entire indebtedness, national and individual, is now so high it equals the total value of everything in the United States. Another war can hurl us into bankruptcy. Today, more urgently than ever before, for assured blessing and bounty, the United States must go back to the old God, the good God, the one God, the real Christ, the divine Christ, the redeeming Christ, the guiding, enlightening, sanctifying Spirit. If we turn from the triune Lord, no brilliant leadership, no international alliance, no political program can save us. Our military dead will have died in vain. This brings the issue squarely before you. Are you helping to build and protect your country through faith in Christ and an earnest godly life, or are you living in bold sin and open defiance of the Almighty? The Second World War came to us as a visitation of heaven's wrath because of America's pride, sin, neglect of God, rejection of our Redeemer. We have war criminals in the United States too, the masses whose unbelief and insolence helped hurl us into the conflict. If you have no love nor reverence for the Almighty, if you are concerned only about making money in any way you can, satisfying your desires and your lusts, if you have kept your distance from the churches of Jesus Christ, then you helped send these 300,000 young men to their wartime grave. Then you are driving your own soul to hell. Then this broadcast, as every memorial service to be held throughout the country during the coming days, is a personal appeal directed to you, asking you to repent, confess all your sins unreservedly before God, and claim the pardon which Christ his Son secured for you at Calvary. There, paying the penalty you should have suffered, dying the death to which your transgressions had sentenced you, he rescued you from eternal ruin. You need the precious Savior above all else in life, for without him you cannot have the assurance of forgiveness, peace, and heaven. See how Scripture itself emphasizes Jesus as the absolute necessity. Plainly, the Bible declares, without shedding of blood is no remission. Therefore, you may try to remove your sins yourself. You may sell everything you have and give it to the poor. You may stop working and dedicate your entire life to religion. You may starve and stunt your body, beat your back bloody, and try to give your own life in payment for your transgressions. But if you do not contritely, sincerely believe in the cleansing power of the blood which the redeeming Son of God shed on the cross for you, you still do not know the way to salvation, and all your self-sacrifices can never guarantee you its glory. Again, Holy Writ clearly insists, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, the Father. If the Holy Spirit has touched your heart, and your violations of the divine will now rise before you in their damning and destructive force, do not doubt that Christ on the cross, crucified for your crimes, has completed everything which eternal justice requires for the removal of your guilt. You please God by your faith, your humble reliance on Jesus' saving grace, your total unswerving acceptance of Christ, which joins Job in exalting, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Once more, Scripture declares, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. No matter how rich and resourceful you may be, however learned and enlightened you are, regardless of how many inventions you may have made, you will never be smart enough to discover another means of attaining holiness besides the sin-removing self-sacrifice of God's Son, who Himself tells you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Holy Spirit rob you of rest until you give yourself to the Savior. We are not asking you merely to attend some church. In Washington, the president's pastor often receives telephone calls on Saturday asking, will the president be in church tomorrow? One of these inquirers, whose interest in divine worship was no deeper than seeing the chief executive, was well rebuked by the reply, I don't know, but I do know that God will be there. When the British royal family recently visited South Africa, people in Pretoria were willing to pay up to £30, about $120, for a seat in the church which the king and queen would attend. But they, like many in our country, have no desire to see the king in his beauty, Jesus, the blessed and only potentate. May you in spirit behold Christ nailed to the cross. As He paid the fearful punishment of your sins, and casting aside every attempt to excuse or justify yourself, may you cry out, Merciful Son of God, you hung on those accursed timbers for me. I caused the agony which broke your heart. My transgressions made you scream in the pangs of your loneliness, forsaken even by your Father. My iniquities crushed you into the most dismal of all deaths. Make and keep me yours now and forever. With 1,000 stations today broadcasting this invitation to receive the all-sufficient Redeemer, we praise the Holy Spirit's power that even in distant foreign lands, sinners who hear this message in other languages have been led to accept and acclaim the Savior right before their radios. Jesus wants your soul, and He wants it now. Write us immediately that you want Him, and we will be glad to help you find the fullness of His grace. Then, reborn by faith, you will become the salt of the earth for our country. As in Josiah's spirit, you help tear down the ugly images of unbelief, purge the United States of its pernicious neglect of God, repair the spiritual damages unfaithful churches have sustained, and bring back the glorious gospel, its forgiveness, its truth, its comfort throughout the land. Then, too, you will have shown that you do not want the vast companies of our fallen military men to have died in vain. Amen.
That's all the time we have for today. If you want to continue reading these sermons for your daily devotions, please go to the Complete Sermons of Martin Luther, his House Apostles, Volumes 5 through 7 by Baker Bookhouse. For Walter A. Meier, spelled M-A-I-E-R, Concordia Publishing House completed 20 sermon volumes from 1931 to 1950. You will not regret acquiring these. these precious classics. Thank you for listening to today's Luther 500 broadcast. We hope these timeless words have been a blessing to you and that you'll join us again next week at the same time. This is Sandy Groff, and if you have any questions or comments, you can reach us at info@1180wfyl.com.